reviewing some of the major points. You'll have to share with them. The issue that we're talking about is women and aliyot. And in practice, women don't get aliyot. But as you will see, I hope that I will first give you an explanation why the question of women on aliyot is not irrelevant. Just as when we dealt with the question of women and minyan, we saw that it wasn't irrelevant, that it was in that case. In fact, women and minyan turned out to be quite relevant in things that women are higher in. As we see women in aliyah of the Torah, you'll see that halachically, it's not an absurd question. That on the books, there are instances of women, in which case women theoretically can get aliyah. You'll see practically, it may not be... presently feasible. The question is whether it will ever be feasible. It also has relevance. I've had several shadows about people who, for one reason or another, went to a conservative shul where women were getting aliyot. The question is, what's the validity of the Kriyat HaTorah? It has relevance under understanding about minors getting aliyot. A whole category of people who are not chayav in Kriyat HaTorah getting aliyot. And that is essentially a great deal of the undercurrent that goes through this whole shiur. That is, women are not obligated in Kriyat HaTorah, or in the vast majority of those. But neither are minors. And yet, under certain circumstances, minors can get aliyot. I don't know if you're aware that the minhag is nowadays that a minor can get the haftorah, can get the maftir and the haftorah. It's not often done, but it can be done under certain circumstances. And the question is, again, how? Why? They're not tired. How does somebody who's not tired get an aliyah? The audience is yes. That's very interesting, because that's not... Right. That's very interesting. That's really not what's mentioned in the poskim. We'll go through it and we'll discuss it together. It's all part of this complex because that's the fundamental issue. We're dealing with women getting aliyot. It's a question of how does someone, this is a rabbinical obligation, Kriyat HaTorah, how does someone who is not obligated get an aliyah? Can that? It would apply to women, it would apply to minors as well. Well, the question is, for instance, minor zachinoch, can a minor read the Megillah for him? The answer is no. I mean, there is some discussion in the poskim. There is one view in the Tosfot that holds that when it comes to rabbinic matters, and we actually mentioned this, we learned this, that when it comes to rabbinic matters, a minor can, who is obligated rabbinically, can help you fulfill your obligation. You're only obligated rabbinically, he's obligated rabbinically. And there is a minority view in the poskim that says, what's the whole question? This is rabbinic, so a minor can get an aliyah. A woman can get an aliyah because somebody who's rabbinic, we'll have to talk about women, but somebody who's rabbinically obligated or is not obligated at all, maybe, can in fact read you. The vast majority of poskim, we don't accept such a position because we maintain that if the minor is obligated, first of all, the question, we say the minor is obligated to do things, right? Which is a chinuch. Who is obligated?
The parents.
Hey, this doesn't mean the minor is obligated. One analysis says, oh, the minor is not obligated. It's the parents who are obligated to keep him, he or she, in line. So it's not a child's obligation, it's the parents' obligation. That's one thing. Secondly, most folks can hold that there, you make a distinction between one level derabbanan and two level. After all, the whole obligation is rabbinic. So all majors are obligated rabbinically. The child is, it's called, in the language of the poskim, terei derabbanan, a double derabbanan. A double derabbanan can't fulfill a single rabbanan, because he's a little less of an obligation. Just as one who's not obligated at all can't fulfill something who's obligated. So the poskim make such distinctions, and that's the vast majority of them. So the question is that a child's obligated. Rabbinically, that's a minority view, and that can help. Majority hold view holds the answer. Okay, let's not start the story from the beginning. In the first couple of shiurim, we discussed the whole concept of Kriyat HaTorah. Where does Kriyat HaTorah come from? It's only a rabbinic institution, or is it? The answer is that in its origin, in its seminal, germinal form, there is a concept of Kriyat HaTorah found by Hakka. Hakka was the sukkahs after the Shemitah year. The whole nation is bidden to come and hear the king read from the Sefer Torah. It's in source number one. It's an explicit biblical obligation. Once in 7 years. And the Chinuch in source number two expresses the idea of getting the people hooked on Torah, showing that the whole country comes together and they have this wonderful tekes, this wonderful ceremony in which the leader of the nation gets up. You know, the person is supposed to be the, essentially, between him and God there's nobody, right? He's the king, okay? And he acknowledges his fealty to Torah. Torah is for him, and everybody is there, and everybody says Torah, and children are there, and it's an attempt to brainwash the nation that Torah is central. The same way we create a Seder ceremony to yearly re-enthuse us with the centrality of the concept of freedom and the importance of Torah and the importance of this. Round the children up. And we get the children involved because the halakha view this is a wonderful opportunity to push the importance of Torah and the education and how everybody's involved in this process. Even some people would call it education, other people call it brainwashing. It's irrelevant. It's the same idea. The idea is to create a positive attitude toward the centrality of Torah. Alright. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu already realized that that this is a wonderful idea, and the Chazal teach us in source number three, let's read source number three again. Moshe hitkin et Yisrael, Moshe set up for Israel. Shiyuhu kovin batova b'shabbaton to b'yamin tovin u'bachim b'shechodashim u'bachol shamoe. Every day that there's a Musaf, Shabbos and holidays and Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, Shenemar v'yedaber Moshe et Moedei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. Moshe spoke the holidays with people. What does that mean? He spoke the holidays. He taught the holidays. He celebrated. He spoke the holidays. He instituted the celebration of the holidays that comes through speaking. And because I understand, that means he set up the creation. Moshe set up the Torah's recording, Moshe's rabbinic, one of the first rabbinic institutions of Moshe to have a Kriyat HaTorah. Chazal has a tradition that we don't see anywhere that God commanded it. And the Chazal has a tradition, Vayedaber Moshe et Moedei Hashem. It doesn't say Kasher Tzivao Hashem or something like that. Chazal understood this was Moshe's rabbinic institution. By the way, this is interesting. I just want to mention as hit and run that there is a very interesting level of research in modern day scholarship of what's called biblical rabbinic institutions. That is, there are things in the Torah that are recorded that are not biblical in origin, a merely rabbinic institution. For instance, the Torah says, when a man gets a second wife, he has to make sure that the first wife doesn't lose out on her sheikh subbatna, doesn't lose on her ketubah obligation. So Chazal holds, it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you have to give your wife a ketubah. In fact, the ketubah is a rabbinic institution. I know that it says in all your ketubot that the 200 zuz, the chazichi lichi midoraita, that you get biblical. We hold it to the rabbanan. So what does the word doraita mean? It's a rabbinic institution who is a custom that goes back to biblical times. I don't know if you can, that's one example. We say another example, we're talking about Kisri Seir. They're kind of some shitot. When the Torah calls Kisri Seir midoraita, it doesn't mean that it's biblical in obligation. It's biblical in its source. That we find that at the time of the Torah, women covered their hair, and that was a long-standing custom that continued on for thousands of years afterwards. But its origin is not biblical. That is, God didn't command it. The Torah is merely recording the custom that appeared at the time. I just saw in last week's parasha talks about a double share for the firstborn. So the Torah says that you gotta give, that you cannot take away the double share from the first. There's a ben ahuva and a ben asnua, and you can't take away the double portion from the ben asnua and give it to the ben ahuva. So the Torah says, wait a second. The Torah is telling me that I can't take it away. But where does the Torah command that I gotta give it? It says that here the Torah is saying you can't take it away. But the Torah never said anywhere that you got to give it to him. He said, this seems it was a very old custom. And the Torah here is saying that we want, that this is something that's biblical. Now this is biblical, but you see that it was an old custom that the Torah, that the firstborn gets a double share. That is a custom that preceded the Torah, that the Torah approved of. The Torah Kanim and the Rebetzin in several places goes through reading the Torah very carefully, and seeing what things are biblical in origin, what are merely customs, what is the Torah saying, yeah, I like this custom, we're going to keep it going. All right, this is a very interesting area of research that we should be aware of. So the fact that Moshe instituted, it only makes a rabbinic, it's only running. Even though it was Moshe Rabbeinu, but that's his authority, this God's authority, right? That's biblical. It's Moshe's authority, that's your rabbinic. Good idea, it's only rabbinic. Now, it says the Moshe Rabbeinu was still reading the Torah, but it doesn't say that the concept of Aliyot and getting, and how many psukim you read. That, it seems the most kind of scholars are in prayer. There are a lot of, there are a group of scholars who devoted themselves to understanding prayer ritual. Jacobson, Levi, and a lot of scholars who try to understand, put all the pieces together. But when we're reading that material, it seems that they understand that Moshe Rabbeinu came along and set up that one person gets up and reads the Torah. No, there's no such thing as Aliyah. It's not clear. It's not. They decided on the holidays, one person would get up and shul, and he would read for the community the section that was relevant from the parasha. Came along Ezra. This is now already thousands of years later, but by it, Shemi. And Ezra, in his mass education, said, listen, this is not enough. We got to now make sure that people are learning Torah. Because they don't know Torah. And we can't rely on the people. And the holidays are right. It helps in the celebration of the holidays. But now we need a mass education. So he set up that they would read Mincha time. They would read on Sheni V'Chamishi, on the market days. So the 3 days wouldn't go without learning. And he set up that on the holidays there would be, on a regular weekday, there would be 3 aliyot, and then 3 aliyot, then Rosh Chodesh 4 aliyot, and holidays 5 aliyot, then Yom Kippur 6 aliyot, and Shabbos 7 aliyot. He set up the whole concept of aliyot and sukkim and more. Okay, and that's what appears in source 3 at the end. Ezra hitkin Israel. Ezra set up for the Israelites. She kovin b'tola b'sheni u'b'chamishi u'b'shabbat. He set up that you read it every 3 days approximately, plus the custom of Aliyah. Now, there was another evolution of the Arabic. The rabbis decided if we're going to have this rabbinic ceremony, and it seems that this came with Ezra, we're going to have brachot with every rabbinic command, and that's brachot before it. Chazal wanted a bracha before and after the reading of the Torah. This is not should not be surprising. We find brachot before and after many things. Before and after Halakha. Before and after reading Psukei Dezimra, which is also reading a selection from the Navi. We find the bracha before and after Megillah reading. There is such a concept. There is such a form in which when you read selections from Tanakh, there's a bracha before and there's a bracha after. The Maftir is unique in that there is one bracha before, but several bracha after. And the Tosaf discusses what the function of each of the several bracha. But Maftir is, Haftar is a unique institution in itself. Now, the original institution was what? That the first person who got the Aliyah made the first bracha, and the last person who got the Aliyah made the last bracha. But Chazal, at a later stage, felt that this was not sufficient. That it was important that that each person who got the Aliyah made the bracha. Okay? Why? The Gemara says only Mishum HaNechnasim, Mishum HaYotzim, because of those who come in, those who goes out. Rashi learns that we wanted to make sure that everybody in the community knew that there was a bracha before and bracha after. Well, it's simple. It surprised that people used to go in and out. Other Rishonim seem to understand that it's important that I'm Aliyah number three. Supposing I wasn't there for Aliyah number one. And I get my Aliyah, if I wasn't there in the beginning, my Aliyah would be made without a first bracha because I wasn't in shul to hear the first bracha. So that I, the Ole, need a bracha. So Chazal said, in order to avoid problems, every person who gets up, you're going to start a new takana, every person who gets up makes a bracha. Now, I want you to understand that when Chazal, it seems that it was a technical problem. No, it's more than a technical problem. The nature of the brachot changed. Look, when the first person made his bracha or her bracha, again, let's talk about gender, who did they make the bracha for? For all the subsequent seven. For the subsequent three. The last one made the bracha for everyone else. So you weren't just making it for yourself. You're being motzi other people. Right? But when each person goes up and makes his own bracha, one could say that now he's being motzi only himself or herself. The question is, when we deal, we're going to have to deal with this question in a moment. Just remember this piece of information.
I'm
getting
close and people are listening as well.
Now you're okay. I didn't present it. Okay, but you're right. There are two possibilities of analysis. Let's ask the fundamental, because we're going to deal. You know, I'll ask this. Just remember this distinction. There may very well be a difference if you make it for all seven or you make it. Make it an edgier Aliyah. Because I'm going to come and ask the question shortly. And there was now a third variation that came in, a fourth variation that came in, and that was the concept of a Baal Kalon. The concept of someone who reads the Torah for the community. Yeah.
Why would the bracha after the Aliyah institute of the business? Because it's not the same. Unless you can say that perhaps some of the other questions.
After my Aliyah,
the person is making a bracha at the end,
Motzi himself.
Everybody.
No. If we say, let's talk about the case of there's seven Aliyah, okay? So originally, the first one made the first Aliyah, the seventh made the seventh Aliyah. The first one was mostly all the subsequent six, and the last one was mostly all the previous six.
So why couldn't it still be that he would be mostly?
Because the person number two might walk out after his Aliyah, and then his Aliyah wouldn't have a bracha. He wouldn't have a bracha after. That's one possibility, okay? There are different possibilities, and I don't want to jockey at this point. I'll come back in a second. Okay. The there was another institution, and this institution of Balkore. The Tosfot says, "Bimeim lo hayah shaliach tzibur." In the time of Chazal, there was no shaliach tzibur, what we call the Balkore, koreim bahem. V'achshav nami lo itkinu. Why do they set it up? They didn't. This is sort of a double negative. V'achshav nami lo itkinu. They didn't set it up. Ella except shelo levayish mi she'em yodei lekol. Not to embarrass. He who did not know, or she did not know how to read. There's the person who got the Aliyah at the time of Chazal, originally, in the time of the Tanoim and the Amoraim, the person who got the Aliyah read his portion, or her portion. It was only by the time of the Rish, by the time of the Gaonim, that what happened was that people were becoming more and more illiterate, and they couldn't read their portion. Or literacy, they wanted to solve the problem. The Rush has a slightly different explanation for this, which is very, very cute. The subtlety is very important. The Rush, okay, here he says that we would stop calling up certain people because they couldn't get called up because they don't know how to lay. They don't know words, they don't want to drop. The Rush said that we set up a Balkore because there were people who thought they knew how to read, but they really didn't. And that would create, you know, everybody would sit there and squirm and think, and the Hebrew was terrible, and I missed the drop, and everything I learned was squirm. So in order to avoid that problem, in order to keep shalom in the community, because everybody says, I know it. So they set up a Balkore to avoid that situation. There's a subtlety here, but okay. In any case, so that was another development. But that development is a very late development. It seems to come in. Remember, get a feeling. The Tanaim, the Mishnah period, ends around 250 of the Common Era. The Gemara period ends around 500 of the Common Era. We have the Gaonic period, which goes to about 900, 1,000 of the Common Era. Okay. This occurs in the end of the Gaonic period. So we're really quite late. Most of the literature that we've talked about, that we talk about in the Gemara, the Mishnah, these are all in the 250 department. Okay, now. So at different levels of development, each one of them is very crucial in our understanding about women and elderly. Okay, now. Point number one. Women and minors are not obligated in Kriyat HaTorah. We spent a lot of time talking about women's obligation in learning Torah, and teaching Torah. Women don't have to learn Torah. They have to know Torah. It's a subtle difference, but it's all the difference in the world. Women have to know Allah. They have to know to practice. They have to function of Jews and Judaism. They don't have a theoretical obligation to sit and learn Torah. Is the difference subtle? In most cases, it's subtle. I mean, most practical Allah, women have to know. But if she knows it all, she doesn't have to continue. A man has an obligation to know. A woman has to know what to do. She doesn't have to know kachim and taro. She doesn't have to know about matters that are irrelevant to her life. A man has to know. That's a man's obligation versus a woman's obligation. Limud HaTorah that's set up was a public form of Torah worship, of Torah learning. Women were freed from Kriyat HaTorah. Let's now look at source number 8. Actually, let's look at source number 7. Okay. Source number 7 states, this is a Mishnah, Katan Koreba Torah Umtarget. A Katan can get an aliyah and read from the Torah. Remember, reading from the Torah means what? Because it means it's synonymous with getting an aliyah. Because everybody got an aliyah read from it. That's what it meant. Katan kolei b'Torah u'metargim and can be an interpreter. There was at their time there was a running translation. You read a pasuk and then there was a translation into Aramaic, and that job could be done by a minor. But because he's a minor, not obligated, he cannot do communal things like Hech Kedusha, the Torah Sal Shema, the can't do Chazarat HaShatz, because he's not obligated. So right off the bat, we have to go, wait a second, he's not obligated to be a Torah either. How come you allow him to do that, but you don't allow him to be a Chazan? Okay. Let's skip now to source number 8. And this is the pivotal source of the Shiurim. Tanu Rabbanan, a rabbi's talk. This is again from the Mishnaic period. Mishnaic period, I don't know exactly what it is, but the Mishnaic period ends 250 years of the Common Era. Tanu Rabbanan, Kol Olin the Minyan Shiva, everyone can get an aliyah. Afilu Katan, Vafilu Isha, even a minor, even a woman. Aval Amru Chachamin, but the rabbi said, Isha lo tikra b'Torah, dipnei kavod ha-tzibur. A woman should not make an aliyah because of the honor of the community. Okay? There's more that we don't understand than we do understand in this text. We'll spend a little bit of time explaining it. The Tosefta, which is a little bit later after the Mishnah, says similar thing. Hakol olim l'minyan shiva afilu isha afilu katan. You know, it's isha is mentioned before katan. Previously, the katan before isha. The order is not relevant here. Ein mevi'in et isha l'kod l'rabban. You don't bring a woman in to read for the community. It doesn't say there's a subtlety of language difference. It says you don't bring a woman in, and suppose she came in by herself. The question is, the language is different. There's not a reason given here. It doesn't mention Kabbalah Tzibur. We'll talk about this. We'll spend a lot of time talking about it. Not yet. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about it. So we see, at least from this source, that were it not for a concept that we don't yet understand called Kabbalah Tzibur, right? The honor of the community. And remember, it seems to be a Tzibur concept, right? This is a communal concept. It's not something that happens in private. Right? I mean, you're going to have to ask yourself, what is Kabbalah Tzibur? How do we define a Tzibur? Suppose she had a Priyasa Torah in her house. And the only people there were her sons and grandsons and her family. Do we worry about Kabbalah Tzibur there? Well, this is a true of the one of the leading Sephardi posters. Okay, what is the definition of tzibur? Does this mean like in the community where there's a large mixed audience? Or are we talking about anything that's above, that has a minion? We'll talk about it. Okay, but at least in theory, if we're not the coveted tzibur, we have to understand the parameters of coveted tzibur, who determines whose coveted is, what is coveted. If not for that, a woman can get an aliyah. And a minor can get an aliyah. The minor is not excluded because of pregnancy. But the fundamental question is, how can, first of all, how can she make the bracha? She's going to get an aliyah. So, Chazal said that she could get an aliyah if it were not for covenant either. Tell me, how does she make the bracha? How can she make a bracha when she's not chayyavet? Okay, so there are several answers that we saw. First answer was that, look, these are not brakot ha-mitzvah. The bracha doesn't say, asher kichon mitzvah v'tzivah v'lekho v'torah. These are brachot of sheva. They talk about selection. The brachot, in their essence, apply to women just like they apply to men. That's the bechina, the chosenness applies to those brachot, women can say with no hesitation whatsoever, just like So the nature, there's no problem. That's one answer. There's no problem with the Torah. Other Mefarshim say, if you hold from the Ashkenazi school, even if they are Birkot HaMitzvah, right? Even if they are Birkot the Ashkenazi school, women can assume obligations and say Birkot HaMitzvah. Provided there's a proper minyan. Tell I want that the bracha is relevant. It means you'd have to have a minyan, and women could count for this minyan because women are not obligated. There has to be a minimal obligation in order, they have to be obligated in order to count for a minyan. But once the minyan is established, a woman can make these brachot too. That's not a problem. But wait a second, we're not finished. Because the question is, what do the brachot do? Let's think about this. According to the original establishment, now it's going to be a little complicated, so try to hang in there. According to the original establishment, who made the bracha? Just the first and the seventh. And that person was made the bracha to be motzi. So the person who gets up makes the bracha of praise. Can a woman make the bracha of praise? Yes, the bracha of praise applies to anyone. So that has nothing to do with my mitzvah. So I'm not obligated. But once I get an aliyah, the Chazal said you can get an aliyah, you can make the appropriate bracha of praise. So women can make it, and for the men too, because it's a bracha of praise. But suppose it's a birkat ha-mitzvah. Suppose it's a bracha of mitzvah. Why can she make the bracha? Because Rabbeinu Tam says, the Ashkenazi poskim hold, that for every mitzvah that I do, even if I'm not obligated, I can make the bracha. And a woman's not obligated in lulav. Can she make them to make do it? Yeah, she can do it in the bracha. Can she be motzi and So, according to that analysis, if the first one and the seventh one, right, if the first aliyah and seventh are being motzi, not only themselves, but all the subsequent six, according to that analysis, she could not be motzi other people. She could say it for herself, but she can't help the other two from, if she's number one, she can't be motzi two to seven. According to that analysis. And in fact, we saw that Rabbeinu Nissim said the same. Rabbeinu Nissim is an Ashkenazi scholar. He said the woman, theoretically, could make her own bracha, but she can't do it for the other six to follow her. So she can't get bracha aliyah one or seven. Hold on. Now, the Kana came along, Chazal, and they did what? They made every person make their own bracha. What does that do? So number two, four, three, four, five, who's motzi then? They themselves, they make their own bracha. Now, according to the second, they're being motzi themselves. Right? So could a woman now get the first and sixth, seventh bracha? Says Rabbi Nissim, yes! Because she's being motzi, because even though it's a birkat mitzvah, Chazal said she could get the aliyah, then she can make the bracha, and she's motzi only herself. And number two is motzi himself, and the third is motzi himself. So yes, women could make the bracha for themselves. That's only good, I made a basic assumption, the bracha are for whom? For the aliyah, for the people who get out the aliyah. Just to complicate more, there are those who hold, like Rashi, that the brachot are not for the olim, but are being motzi tzibur, the kahal. That the kahal has an obligation to hear the kriyat haTorah and to hear the brachot. There's an interesting view of Reb Chaim Brisker, who said that if he missed the brachot in the kriyat haTorah, so he walked in late. He didn't hear the kohen aliyah. Right, he walked in late, and all he missed was the bracha. He would go to some other shul to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Because he felt that he's obligated in the bracha, not the person who gets the aliyah. I would say the most poskim hold that the obligation of the brachot is for the person who gets the aliyah. It's that personal obligation. That seems to, but there are views that hold, no, the tzibur has to hear the bracha as they come in and out. Okay? I mean, the tzibur, that's why Chazal set it up. According to Rashi, that's why the bracha, they set it up. And every aliyah, so that if somebody of the community came in late, he would hear a bracha all along the way, and that's what she would hear. You didn't follow me, don't worry too much.
No.
They would help. So how could she do it? Because she holds the brick of a Shevach. No, can I play? Because there's another sheet there. Remember? All this problem is if I have to demote to you something. That's provided the bracha is a birkat, a mitzvah. So you have a mitzvah, you're in the kohel. You have a mitzvah to hear to Kriyat HaTorah. You have a bracha to make as well. But you listen to Mikra Megillah. You're obligated to make a bracha. But you don't. Who makes that? Right? Whoever reads for you, male or female, makes the bracha for you. It's your obligation. They're being mowed to you in the bracha. And in fact, if you didn't make the bracha, if you didn't hear, suppose I walked in late and they're about to read the Megillah and I didn't hear the bracha, I'm not going to do it. I should make the bracha quickly. You didn't hear the bracha. Because it's your obligation. He's being mowed to you. Same thing says Reb Chaim's analysis is that each person, you have to hear the bracha. You have to hear the bracha. Bracha is part of the obligation for you as a Torah. You have to be yes. Fortunately, Reb Chaim in other places holds that the bracha is a brick of a shevach, which means so he holds that the bracha is not a brick of a pizza. He holds that the brick of a shevach, which means a woman could make it. Right? Because it has nothing to do with personal obligation. It's part of the Kriyas Torah, but it has nothing to do with obligation. So a woman could make it for you because it's not a birkat hamitzvah. I hope you understand there are several analyses. What's the nature of the bracha? Is it a praise, in which case women could certainly make it, or is it a mitzvah obligation? Which then raises a question about women making the bracha. Is it a personal obligation, or you mostly the other olim, or you mostly the cow? All those different points, you can mesh them together in different ways and get all sorts of complications. Which is very nice for mental gymnastics, very hard when you have to pass. When you have to pass, you go by the majority. And the majority of folks being told that these are personal obligations, right? The person who gets the aliyah is demoting him or herself, not the community. The community doesn't have to make it. It's not like making money.
How does Rashi deal with Hakol Olim Liman Shiva? If he says that,
That this talks about, and where only the first and the seventh made the aliyah, and women got them the aliyah from the middle. They didn't make it. But if they had to make brachot, it's like the Meiri says. The Meiri says that every person has to make a bracha. Meiri says that if every person has to make a bracha, the woman can't make it because she's from the Sephardi school. It says you can't make a bracha if you're not a that of course complicates it more. Because if it's a birkat hashevach, she could make it. If it's a birkat mitzvah, she can't make it because the Sephardi school says the women can't make bracha on things that are not obligated. So we have four variations this way and three variations this way and the thrust of the
mitzvah.
What? Have I lost you totally? They have to hear whatever Chazal established. Chazal set up. If so, said seven aliyot, they have to hear the Philippine Brahma. Very few people. I'm telling you, there are shitot that hold it. But that's not the thing. And it comes up in certain things. Yes, exactly.
In this situation,
that
all the seven people go up the
Can that be? Let me talk about that.
If it's a
Birkat HaShevach, then the woman could get the first one.
No, if it's like Birkat HaMitzvah, so the first one could, and the seventh could say, if they're all women.
If the first, for all seven.
If all seven are women.
The second,
and they're being yotzei.
Yes, provided that they're being no, that's an interesting item. But I know something that I haven't taught
you.
She said, suppose all seven were women, so that then the first one could be moved to the second, because she's not obligated either. And the third, none of them are obligated. The point is, again, so I'll tell you what I know. That, you know, then
halacha and the poskim hold that one of the people has to be male. It's obvious. Why? Because these are all extensions of Takanat Moshe. And Takanat Moshe required one person operating. Well, that's how the movie understands. You need one, and that's how the Ramah poskins, that you need one to be operating. So therefore, there's one person who gets an aliyah who has to be the rest of the people. So that, while your question is theoretically interesting, it's a lot of people who have to. My father used to say, they have the wonderful spura for the Mishnah Pekeh, the Mishnah. Okay. The wonderful Mishnah. I'm missing information. But that's your analysis. Okay, now, the question now, but wait a second, so we solved the problem of the bracha, but at least we can say, look, either it's a bracha of a shevach, or it's a bracha of a mitzvah, and it's a personal obligation, however we want to set up, there are ways of getting around the problem of the bracha. How did she get an aliyah? She's not obligated. And the whole halacha is based on the fact that you have to be obligated, to be mostly somebody else. So, and based on this, we already find in the Rishonim that it's developing further. We saw Moshe Feinstein. We had a long tutor of Moshe Feinstein who explicated this point a little bit. The obligation of reading the Megillah is a personal obligation. I have to read the Megillah. The obligation of Kriyat HaTorah is a very different obligation. The obligation of Kriyat HaTorah is to be part of a community in which the Torah is read and divided up by seven people, each one who will read, who gets an aliyah. Now, I hope you understand, it's not a personal obligation. It does not seem to be a personal obligation. I have to hear how the Torah is read in the community. I have to be part of this educational process that goes, that communal educational process. I don't have a personal obligation to get an aliyah. I can go my whole life without getting an aliyah. I didn't do any problem. I cannot go my whole life and not have someone fulfill Kriyat HaMegillah. Let me explain, put it a little differently. The way the Muslim Mefarshim understand, I have to be part of witnessing a process that's occurring. The process is not to be motzi in my personal obligation. I don't have a personal obligation to read the Torah. I have a personal obligation to be part of the community that's doing this, that's teaching Torah public. And it makes no difference who gets the aliyah. It can be anybody in the community. People are not obligated. Jewish. So they could be minors, they could be women, they could be anybody, could be anybody who has some Jewishness to them, even if that's a non-Jewish slave to a Jew, who has some mitzvah, has some Kedushat Yisrael to him, partially converted. Anybody who's part of Klal Yisrael can get an aliyah. The idea is Klal Yisrael is teaching Torah every Shabbat. Klal Yisrael gets together to teach Torah. And anybody, whether you're obligated or not. Okay, when I say you're obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, means you got to be in shul to watch this go on. The post can then ask the following question. That's the analysis. Do I have to listen? I'm sitting in shul. I'm not talking. But I'm reading my Mishnah Berurah while they're reading Kriyas HaTorah. This is a major discussion post. And a lot, I would say perhaps even the majority of poskim hold. Nope. I'm not the atheist. I just got to read it. I got to make sure that it goes on. I make sure they got to do it properly. I may not be personally obligated in Kriyas HaTorah. You can't interfere, interrupt. You can't go out to a kiddush club. I don't know if it's correct as may be. But may not be personally obligated to Kriyas HaTorah. They talk, the poskim are not too happy. They say, the Torah is open, and we're there, and whole community is learning Torah, and you're being Torahish from the Sefer, and not learning. Other poskim says, but I am learning Torah.
Dakota. I'm not learning what they're learning. I'm learning something else. I'm learning what they're doing.
But then what's the point of it? Then what's the point if you don't have to learn if you find out who it is?
Then everybody should be Googling them for color is important. Doesn't say you can sit there and read any man.
Okay.
No, I'm not being absurd.
Yeah, I know.
I'm saying, it doesn't mean also there's a discussion person, can I get up and down in one of this? There's Kriyas, if there's Torah learning going on, you got to be involved in Torah learning. Do I have to be involved in Kriyas of Torah making it?
In other words, the point is to gear the people with the
Torah. This point of the service, we're going to go and learn Torah. And all of us can be Torah learners and teachers. That's not my personal obligation. Some go so far as say it's a communal obligation, not a personal.
But if
the
person's being
to
himself, the community is not really involved in that. They're each doing their own thing, perhaps.
The default is learning Chumash, learning Torah and Ezra, right? If you want to sit and learn something else, because you know it already, we're not going to say no. Other posts can hold no. Other posts can hold no. That I said there's a machlokes with posts. I said most posts can seem to hold that you really don't have to. You don't have to. The Mishnah Berurah seems to know that you do. But other poskim don't always agree with the Mishnah Berurah. Okay? If you ask a yeshiva guy about this particular question, he'll smile and he'll answer, Mishnah Berurah says you should do it. Because he knows that. I'm going to catch yeshiva guys from the other things like this. Okay? I mean, there are other obligations, man. Shnayim Mikra Lechav Tavim. There are several obligations that you can do simultaneously so they'll do it for that. If one is aware of the subtleties of the poskim, it seems pretty clear from the Shulchan Aruch that if I'm sitting there learning and minding my own business and not bothering anybody, they're not going to say.
What's the point of
the Yom
Tov? Everybody's going to everybody will do something else, but you just say a certain time, like now there's a time for everybody to learn Torah, and then we learn Torah. As long as
it's the answer to that question is, first of all, until you came to this year, did you know about that? So I don't really have to worry about most people not coming to Torah, because most people do.
Yeah, but if
I just put my... You have to know the halakha. Most people assume that you have to sit and listen to Kriyas of Torah, because that's what's going on. That's the action. That's what's going on. Yeah, that's true. And even people who know the halakha is that you can do other things, sit in your Torah. That's what everybody's doing. No, that's what you should be doing. Now, you're asking me, can I do other things? The answer is no. Most postmen say yes. So there are those who are very careful and say, even though most postmen say yes, but there's the large minority who says no, and therefore we have to be koshay shnefer, but minority opinion, therefore, right? So I have to learn Torah, so I learn this Torah, but everybody else is there.
You come in late to davening, you're trying to do catch up. You can do that while they're reading the Torah?
I think not. The only big davening is out. I'm supposed to listen to the Torah. You asked me a good question, and I plead ignorance on that particular point. My gut
because you're never late.
Is that you're supposed to listen to the Torah. Yeah. But unless you're missing my tefillah, there are different things. Different things to do. I mean, I can't. I plead ignorance. I don't want to go specifics because it's more complicated. If I'm in Stratus Monestre, when I do like stuff, or something. Let me just. Okay. There is another view that holds that Kriyat HaTorah is the obligation of Kriyat HaTorah is to make sure that there are 10 Jews. After the 10 Jews reading Torah, I have to make sure that 10 Jews are this. There is a view, quite lenient, that holds that I have to make sure that there are 10 Jews doing this. This is a large. I have to make sure there are 10 Jews. If I know there are 10 Jews reading Torah, I have to show. So there is a very lenient thing that holds that in the background.
My obligation, what does it mean that I'm chayav tefillah b'tzitzit? I have to make sure that there's a minyan going on. And if because of me there's no minyan going on, I'm a no-goodnik, I'm a stinker, I'm a shocking ra, and chazal kershuel. But if there's a minyan, there's like 25 Jews there, Baruch Hashem, they don't need me, and I'll use my time better by learning Torah. And the discussion, you know, there's a question of weighing certain things against other things. I'm the scholar of the generation. Let's assume I'm the scholar of the generation, and I'm preparing a shiur for 1,000 people. And I'd have to get up and walk 20 minutes to go to Mincha, and walk back 20 minutes to go to Mincha. Can I departure myself from going to Mincha? There are many postings, particularly in the Blitzker school, that said yes. If I know there's going to be minyan anyway, and it's not dependent on me, I can save myself, take the 40 minutes, and die without walking time, and use it for the other time. This is like a way to play over. It was said of Rav Yoshi Bresovich's public knowledge, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein testified, that in his younger years, Rav Yoshi Bear would stay home and learn and not walk the 40 minutes I just told you from his house to in Boston, to the thing, and he would rather sit and learn. In his older years, particularly after his wife died, he was much more mocked at him. And then he would try to organize a nearby, so he didn't have to have a place to stay. Okay, this is documented several times. So I'm trying to explain to you that these are not what about the obligation to the Tzibur? The Brisker held that Tzibur B'tzibur was not a personal obligation. I have a kayak even Tzibur B'tzibur. What does it mean? I have a responsibility to make sure the community has a minyan go. And then if I have something, and I should be there, because it's a better form of davening, it's the best form of davening. Rambam says that when you pray with a Tzibur, your tefillos are listened to. They're listened to, because you're talking about Zchut Rabin, all the community gets together. When a Yachid Hashem says a prayer, the Rambam talks about the importance of prayer. It's okay. Question is way different.
He doesn't have to say Mincha at all, or he just has to say himself.
Okay.
Everybody will say
a small thing. What?
Everybody will say, I know that there are 10 other people, so I don't need
to. Obviously, it's part of your responsibility to show that there are 10 other people.
How could you be sure that there are other people that are going to show up?
If you know, if it's a very hard, rainy day, and there's a serious doubt that there'll be a shminyan, you have to make sure you have to go on there. Because you have to show responsibility. That's what the, according to the Briskers, that's what your personal obligation is to the Tzibur.
There'll be a situation on rainy days, everybody goes to shul.
That's right.
No, there's no
one. You can't be too much of a chavah, right? That's why the default situation is go to shul. That's your responsibility. I said, that's the brisk of you. I didn't say, but Moshe Feinstein, oh, no. It's an absolute obligation on each male to go to synagogue. You know that. Because I'll do my coaching. Okay. Next question. Okay, so we now understand how women could get aliyah. That still didn't force Chazal to give them that opportunity. Right? Okay, we understand the mechanism. We understand why Chazal, how they could have the brachot. And we understand why, how women could get out the aliyah. But just because we can explain it and understand it, why, what forced Chazal to do it? Why did they make this special dispensation? Why do they formulate Kriyas HaTorah in a way different than the Rav Akiva? I mean, this is a very unique formulation that you've got to be part of the community and make sure that there's a Kriyas HaTorah, but it's not, I mean, the Kriyas HaTorah is a very unique formulation. Why did they formulate it? Why did they formulate it like a personal obligation, like Mikra Megillah? The answer is because Mikra Megillah comes once a year. And Mikra Megillah, for that one time a year, you can make plans that a person, there will be a bucky in your community who will learn the Megillah in advance and be able to read it. The Kriyas HaTorah is every every Shabbos, or three times a week. All right, and there are seven aliyot. It's not enough to have what this is not gonna, this is before the Baal Kareh. Remember, the Baal Kareh helps to solve part of this problem. So Chazal said, you know, they're living in a society that not everybody was even literate, could even read, let alone know enough to read the Hebrew and read, know the trop and know how to, where to set the psukim and put it all together. So Chazal came along and said, says the Rivosh, Chazal, not everybody could read, and therefore the Chazal felt that it was important to have a special dispensation in place so that if there was a woman or a child who was knowledgeable enough to be able to read, we could call upon them too, even though they weren't obligated. So therefore we set up the obligation in this way, that they have to be... Without the consideration of competency. Now we have to understand, wait a second, so now we... I agree with you. Very nice. Hang in there, okay? You're right. In order to understand where all this comes from, you have to understand what the mechanism is. We're working at it on a very basic level, understanding Kriyas of Torah, because it's only through the basic understanding you can understand how somebody who's not chayiv can come in and read for the community Yitzchak. How does that mechanism happen? Okay, so now we understand what motivated Chazal. What motivated Chazal said to the Rebbe is that you're dealing with literate communities. You're dealing with many communities in which many of the men were not educated, and you needed seven for Shabbos, seven aliyot. And you can, the world always had communities that you had seven men who could read. Because remember, every aliyah, you read your portion. And sometimes you had to read 50 psukim. So, therefore, and this is part of what drove, it's 500, 600 years later, the Gaonim to set up a Baal Kareh. So that you have a bucky, but even then it wasn't so simple. Okay, so that they... So that's what allowed Chazal to do what they did. Okay. Now, before we get into a further analysis, I mean the central issue here is Kabbalat Tzibur. I'm trying to understand Kabbalat Tzibur. But there's several other small issues that I'd like to deal with before we get to Kabbalat Tzibur. And one of the issues that we'll start to deal with tonight, we have about 10 minutes, let's turn to source number 20. And you notice the question is, if we're talking about a minor and a woman getting an aliyah, the question is, see source 21, just above that, it deals in a group of sources. It starts off matay mitan lekabel aliyah. When can a minor or a woman get an aliyah? Now, look. Just turn back to source number 8. Let's read that fundamental v'raita, okay? V'raita again. Tano rabbanah. You with me? Tano rabbanah. Hakol olin leminyan. Shiva. Anybody can get an aliyah for the seven. Look at the Tosef, the source number 9. Hakol Olin Leminyan Shiva. What is the implication of Hakol Olin Leminyan Shiva? What?
A woman or minor?
No. But what is Leminyan Shiva mean?
If it meant, for
argument's sake, let's do the analysis. If it meant that a woman could get an aliyah, it should say halachol olim lekabel. It says halachol olim leminyan shiva. Right? That's what it would say. Wait, hold on. However, look at the Mishnah. source number 7. What is source number 7? Katan korei b'torah u'metargem. Katan can read the Torah and the targem. What is this mishnah? Say? It says the Katan can get an aliyah, read the Torah, and read the targem. No statement. Okay, so now we got a dilemma. Okay, we have a bit of a problem. Logically, there are two ways of getting out of this dilemma. One is to say that 8 is general, is a general statement, right? Let's put it this way. One is to say, that it's only talking about Shabbos. It's only talking about Shabbos. The Mishnah says, Katan Korei B'Torah. Well, there's a piece of information missing there. It meant when? When he's allowed to read the Torah, which is when? On Shabbos. That's one way of saying it. The other possibly says, Hakol Olam Minyan Shiva, that everybody can get even Shiva. Certainly 3, 4, 5, and 6. But even 7. Even
7. Why would that be?
Good question. I'm just giving you two possibilities of analysis, right? So now I'd have to say, why even 7? What's so special about 7? What?
Because they have so many.
Because you have what?
Because you have so many.
No, that would work the other
way.
That's how to say. The first side would say 3 you can't, 4 you can't, even 5, 6 you can't, because you don't have that many aliyot to permit people who are not chayim to get an aliyah. Nah. Shabbos, you have 7 and you have a suffer too. You forgot about a suffer. Because then mostly you don't do a suffer on the rest of the other day. But on Shabbat, you can have 7, you can have 14, you can have 200. So there they permitted women. That would explain why Shabbos is different. Because Shabbos has so many aliyot that Chazal said, okay, we'll allow women to get aliyot.
Oh,
so 7 now. The other side, the second side, I said to you, say, Shabbos is so special that it gets 7 aliyot. You might think, well, Shabbos is special, but